Good morning. Before we get started on our passage, I just wanted to say a deep thankfulness to all of you for the way that you have welcomed me and our family. We have just, from the moment we've arrived, you have warmly embraced us and cared for us and prayed for us, and you continue to do so. We are so appreciative of you and just the kindness and love that we've experienced from you. We are so thankful, and it's been a good start, to say the least, here at Liberty Church for this past week. I also want to say that I look forward to getting to know every single one of you, all the families of Liberty Church, and my goal for the upcoming year is to meet every single family of Liberty Church one by one, and that's going to take a lot of time, and I've asked Lisa Maddox, our church secretary, to help with that, and I'd encourage you to reach out to Lisa or reach out to myself and let us know some days that would work for you or for your family, and I really want to get to know you over the course of this upcoming year. This morning, I'm also excited to announce that we're going to be starting a new sermon series, and this series is going to take us through the rest of this year, through the Advent season, as well as through all of 2019. And so this series is going to be, as Michael alluded to in his prayer, the Gospel of Luke. I'm so looking forward to starting this series. And I am a strong proponent of expositional preaching. And so I want to just go through the text, and so through 2019, we're just going to be marching along through the Gospel of Luke, unabated. We're just going to continue through Luke, and I think it's going to be a rich, rich study. The Gospel of Luke is the longest of the four Gospels, and it's just filled with amazing, vivid depictions of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life, His work, His ministry, it is filled with details about God's plan for His people, and it seeks to encourage the saints in our faith. It really is a unique gospel, Luke is. It's a gospel that contains stories about Jesus Christ that are found nowhere else, and nowhere else in Scripture. Stories that are very well known and beloved. Stories like the Good Samaritan, story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the story of the prodigal son. Along with this, it also contains many details of the birth narrative of Jesus Christ. And Luke is the only gospel that gives us a little glimpse of Jesus as a young boy. And besides all of this, Luke is the only gospel to have a sequel, the book of Acts. And there might be a clue here as to what we could possibly study even after Luke, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. It is highly important, though, to remember that Luke has a second part. And unfortunately, our English Bibles do not put Luke and Acts together as I think they should. And this could cause the impression of discontinuity between the two books. But that is far from the case. It's important to think that these two books are one because of this vital fact. The person and work of Jesus Christ must never be separated from the origin and mission of the church. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the sole reason the church even exists. If these are not true, our faith is in vain, and the church is a hoax. But praise be to God, these are true. And as we will see this morning, the Gospel of Luke is a story that provides the church certainty. It gives believers confidence that what we believe is not some mystic tale, not some urban legend or misguided information. These are events that actually happen in time and space. They are true, and we can rest on this truth. So let's dive in, all right? Gospel of Luke, to honor God's word, may you please stand if you are able. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, just as Luke introduces his gospel in verses 1 through 4, this Sunday is going to be somewhat of an introduction. We're going to look at who Luke is, why did he write, what did he write, and hopefully this will inform our study over the course of the next few months. So this is going to be a little bit of an introductory sermon. Church tradition tells us that the author of the gospel was indeed Luke, although the text itself is anonymous. But if Luke and Acts were written by the same person, as I believe they are, there are only a few candidates of authorship that it could possibly be because of all of these "we" statements that are found in the book of Acts. That is, the person who was writing was also involved in much of the action. And there are times when only Paul and Luke could have possibly known what was going on in that Acts narrative. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 that Luke alone is with me. Luke was intimately acquainted with Paul and his missionary journeys. And he is the prime candidate for authorship of both Luke and the book of Acts. And this was completely uncontested by the early church. And Paul describes Luke in Colossians 4 as a physician. He was a medical doctor. And on top of being adept in medicine, he was extremely well-educated, using the finest Greek in all the New Testament. Luke truly is beautifully written. The introduction that we just read is one long sentence in Greek, and it's very beautifully written. Moreover, Luke is also an excellent historian, carefully sourcing his information from eyewitness accounts. To say the least, Luke is a man of many skills. He's a writer, he's a storyteller, he's a physician, and he reminds me in many ways of my grandfather, who at the age of 75 is still a full-time practicing physician, who also somehow finds time to paint about 50 paintings a year, who also makes his own wine and honey, and constructs elaborate train sets that get featured in magazines, along with many, many other things. People like my pops and Luke make me a little envious, I have to admit. All I can do is preach, and it might literally be the only skill I have. Now, if you don't agree that I have that skill, then we're in trouble. But Luke is a gifted person. He's a gifted writer, and we're going to see that as we traverse through this gospel and see the incredible ways that Luke frames this narrative. Luke was perhaps a Hellenistic Jew or a Greek Jew. Some think that he was also, or he could have been, a God-fearer. This is a person who was a Gentile, but who adhered to much of Jewish law. There's much debate about this, about whether Luke was a Jew or not. I tend to think that Luke was indeed a Greek Jew, solely based on the fact that his grasp of the Greek language and his knowledge of the Old Testament are just absolutely impressive. Now, Colossians 4, just to give the other argument, Colossians 4 could be evidence of him not being a Jew, because in that passage, Luke is not counted among the circumcision, the party of the circumcised. So, regardless, Luke is writing to both Jew and Gentile as a scholar, as a gifted storyteller, as a Christian and a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 1 that many have already compiled a narrative of things that have been accomplished among us. I believe Luke wrote his gospel in the early to mid-60s A.D. And so from the time of Jesus' death to the time of Luke's gospel, there was plenty of opportunity for works to be written about Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry. And Luke undoubtedly used some of those sources, some of those traditions. He drew upon those. There isn't much doubt that Luke at least drew upon the gospel of the book of Mark. And though Luke had been following the events of Christ and his church for some time, as he says in verse 3, he himself was not an eyewitness. Luke wasn't there to actually personally see Jesus, but he knew the eyewitnesses. He, of course, knew Paul very well, but probably he knew many of the other apostles. These are the ministers of the word in verse 2, the servants of the word, those who, whether by actual written word or by oral tradition, they passed on the stories of Christ to the next generation. And Luke was counted among this next generation. And Luke took what was handed down to him, and he believed it was a good idea, he said, for there to be another book detailing the faith. But more than just detailing the faith, the gospel according to Luke defends the faith. This is what is meant by the phrase in verse 3 of orderly account. Orderly account does not necessarily mean that Luke wrote the gospel in chronological order, even though much of it is, of course. The order of the account was to, in part, refute the heresies that are already circulating by the time of Luke's composition. Heresies that included the idea that Jesus was not a real person, he was just some spiritual entity, that he didn't truly suffer on the cross, that the apostles just made up the story. Luke addresses this implicitly in his introduction to the second volume, the second part, the book of Acts. This is what he says in Acts 1, verse 1. In the first book, the book of Luke, O Theophilus, the same person that's dedicated to, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings and by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. You notice the word there, proofs. Presenting many proofs. Luke is wanting to provide proofs for the tradition as was handed down to him. And just as Luke himself was perhaps a Gentile believer, perhaps, he dedicates the work, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, to another Gentile believer, Theophilus, a name that means something like friend of God or loved by God. And we don't know anything about Theophilus except he was probably the literary patron of Luke's work. That is, he paid for the expensive production of the text. And Theophilus was taught, verse 4, the Christian faith. And that word taught being the word catechized. So Theophilus was a disciple. He was a disciple of the Christian faith. And Luke was writing to him to give him certainty. And this dedication provides another clue to why Luke wrote this book. He strongly advocated for the full inclusion of Gentiles into the community of faith. This will be touched on more as we travel through the gospel and see the places in which Luke makes a concerted effort to show that while the Jewish leaders reject Christ, the Gentiles embrace him all the more. But though all this background information is important, it's helpful to know Luke, who he was. It's helpful to know the dating of the text. All this is important to help provide a context for us. The question remains, the bigger question remains, why did Luke write the gospel? He worked hard on this book. He sought out sources. He interviewed eyewitnesses. He compiled records. He investigated the matter closely, he said. He received funding for this very expensive production. All for what? Weren't there other books about Jesus? Why another one? What did Luke seek to accomplish by writing his gospel? Well, he provides us the answer in his introduction. Verse 4 states this, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. That you may have certainty. That you may be sure of the things that you have heard. Luke was writing to a people far disconnected from the actual physical ministry of Jesus Christ. Disconnected geographically, disconnected by time, and even disconnected culturally. This group of Christians never saw Jesus personally. They didn't have a chance to converse with Peter and Paul about all the things that they had seen. They weren't privy to seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ appear to them over the course of the 40 days. This group of Christians, their faith depended on the testimony of those who had gone before them, the traditions that they received years prior. And perhaps, just perhaps, their confidence was a little shaky. Perhaps they said to themselves, if only I could have been there and seen with my own two eyes, I would have no doubts. Does this sound familiar? You and I are separated from these historical events not by a few decades, but by a few millennia. We did not see Jesus. We have not seen him. We never saw his apostles or met them. We don't have the original letters, nor the gospels. We only have copies of copies. And the questions that many of these Gentile believers in Luke's day were asking are the same questions that modern day believers are asking. Is this real? How can I be sure? Can I truly give my life to somebody whom I never even met? And Luke's gospel is shouting to us an emphatic yes. Yes, you can trust what you have heard. Yes, you can believe the stories. Yes, you can embrace the traditions, for it all truly happened. It's a historical reality with historical witnesses and historically changed lives. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who believe even when they cannot see. Blessed are you, Liberty Church, when you believe the Word of God even when you cannot see. And when your faith is assailed, when doubts creep in, when you begin to wonder about the validity of the message, as all Christians do at some point or another, you take up the Gospel of Luke, immersing yourself in the narrative, and you begin to have confidence because this is the inspired Word of God and it was written to give you hope. Luke did not write this gospel just for any reason. He did not write this gospel because we needed more information about Jesus or another really good written record of him. He wasn't trying to just give us facts. He was trying to give us certainty. He was trying to give us surety. Luke wrote this for your faith. The Gospel of Luke provides solid ground for our feet in a world of uncertainty. When we read the Gospel of Luke, as we're going to read through it over the course of many months, the curtain is pulled back and we see a time and place where Jesus actually physically walked. And the witnesses that are implicit in Luke's investigative work, all this provides assurance to us even 2,000 years removed from the events that took place. Why was the Gospel of Luke written? It was written for certainty's sake. Our certainty. Certainty about the person of Jesus Christ. Certainty about the church and the bride of Christ. Certainty about our faith. And certainty about our salvation. The pinnacle of the message of Luke, the message of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ has come for sinners, of whom you and I are among. The climax of the book of Luke, the theme of this gospel, the entire message can be boiled down to just one verse in the gospel. It's tucked away in chapter 19, verse 10. And it says this: "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and save sinners. He came to seek and save us. And Luke is such a potent reminder of what the Son of Man actually did. What he did for sinners like us. We have rebelled against a holy God, have gone our own way, and we've incurred judgment upon ourselves. We've incurred spiritual death by our disobedience. Yet Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, paid the penalty for our sins by becoming a sin offering, dying upon a cross and taking the punishment we all deserved. His atonement, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, is sufficient to bring sinners from death to life. And those of you who have not yet come to Christ, who perhaps are far from being certain of your own salvation, who perhaps are far from being certain about the events that took place as recorded in Scripture and the salvation that's promised, the Gospel of Luke beckons you to come. It beckons you to embrace Christ and all of His benefits, to receive the promise of eternal forgiveness. And Luke endeavors to give us all certainty of this, believers as well as non-believers. As we're going to be looking through Luke over the course of the coming months, my hope and prayer is that our certainty would grow, that our confidence in Jesus Christ and in His Word would continue to grow in us, that we would stand on solid ground knowing that the Word of God is true, and that when doubts come, we would go straight to the text. We'd go straight to the Word of God for comfort. This is our hope. And Luke endeavors to strengthen the church in her faith, to provide this solid ground on which we can rest. Liberty Church, let us be confident in the Lord, for He is our hope and our salvation. Let us pray. Lord, our God, You give faith as a gift, and faith is a certainty of things not seen. We believe in Christ because You, O God, have opened our eyes and have drawn us to Yourself. Thank You, Father, for calling sinners to forgive them and to adopt them into Your family. I pray for Liberty Church that we would be a church that rests on the sure footing and solid ground of the Word of God all the days, that we would have confidence in you, that we would daily come to you as our hope and our salvation. We pray all this in the power of Jesus Christ, who died so that we may be forgiven. In his name we pray. Amen.